Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, we do a deep dive on nice versus considerate. We get into some interesting homeless encampment talk, all coming up. First, I'll tell you about Pure Talk. If your cellular plan is with Verizon, AT&T, or T-Mobile, you're paying way too much for the exact same coverage you'd get with Pure Talk. Look, check your bill. Check and see where it shows the data usage. The average person uses less than 4 gigs a month, but big carriers charge for unlimited data. Pure Talk saves an average person $400 a year. Unlimited talk, text, and 2 gigs of data, all just $20 a month. If you go over the data, they don't charge you for it. So go to puretalkusa.com. Enter the promo code Adam Podcast. That's Adam Podcast, and save 50% on your first month. PureTalkUSA.com, promo code Adam Podcast.
Back inside the toolbox and throwing this one out to that little old lady at the bus stop. It's that little old band from Texas where all tres hombres wear a beard, but only one wears it as his last name. Well, praise the Lord and pass the gravy. Double ZTOP on the toolbox. From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and a spirited round of the Rotten Tomatoes game. And now, the least racist person in the room. Also, the only person in the room. Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice, big guy. Amanda, you get it on, man. Thanks for tuning in, and thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
Handball, Brian.
Are you kidding me?
Well, now, let's see. So much to get into. A subject that we visited briefly some months ago, but I got into it a little more in depth over the weekend with somebody, and I'm interested in fleshing it out, which is nice versus considerate. And the longer I spend on this planet, the more I realize I really love considerate people. And we put a pretty high premium on nice, but if you take nice without considerate, that's a zero burger. It really
that's
is.
A sociopath.
Like, that's just a person who shows up a half hour late every time you meet them for lunch, and they're super nice about it.
Right. Yeah.
But nice, and I'm also starting to wonder if nice. I'm trying to figure out what nice is. Now there are people who are naturally nice. And then there's nice that is used, like Ellen. Yeah, like Ellen. Yeah, Phil Rosenthal's naturally nice, but Ellen uses nice.
Right.
There are people who use nice. There's like, you know, female middle-aged realtors on the West Side that use nice, you know?
And car salesman.
Yeah, and I'm starting to wonder if sometimes the people who cultivate nice, are they nice or are they cultivating nice to sort of take the place of some other attributes, let's say? And so for me, and I started to break down like considerate. I love considerate. Like anyone who's ever had a considerate roommate has had a good relationship with that person. And if you have an inconsiderate roommate, you're fucked. And if you have an inconsiderate roommate who's not nice, it's miserable. But if you have a nice, inconsiderate roommate, you're still kind of fucked.
Yeah.
It's still going to be, it's still going to be a sink full of dishes when you come home from vacation,
yeah.
Right?
Good guy to hang with, have a beer with, but yeah, there's going to be the dishes in the sink.
You don't want to come home to him.
Right. And then I started thinking, well, what are the different kinds of considerate? Because I'm not considerate. I'm not socially considerate. I'm not good with birthdays and anniversaries and, you know, when somebody's family member falls ill, I don't have the right words. So I'm not like...
I have a yes. good example of that.
Please.
I don't know why this popped into my head, but I think we were in Vancouver. We all went to Vancouver together, right? Mm-hmm. That was one of our stops. And I'll never forget, we were about to go on stage and you and August, and we're all sitting in the back. And you said to me, Adam said, August said, like, he could tell you're losing a lot of weight. And I said, oh, thank you. Thank you so much. And you're like, well, I didn't say it. August said it.
Credit where it's due.
Passed it on. So... August is a good example of a guy who's very considerate, but not socially considerate. Mm. He's the guy who will drop you off at the airport and not make the flight to return the car to the rental place. Now, by the way, in those instances, I don't give a fuck about nice. I want that. I want whatever Mike is. But also, Mike's not the guy to go to when your girlfriend breaks up with you or what have you. Yes, Ryan.
That's interesting because the first thing I associate with being considerate is like being conscientious, being aware, being alert, like knowing, like you mentioned, the birthday, but also like, oh, that guy's tire looks a little low. I should tell him. Or, you know, just being aware of your surroundings and like, oh, that person might want to know that or they could help that person. And August is one of the least aware and alert people we know. But I would agree with you. He's considerate.
Well, he's considerate in a kind of brass tacksy, like get it done sort of way. So I think a good example of practically considerate, but not socially considerate is I don't know people's birthdays and anniversaries and things of that nature. But if I'm walking down the street and I see a drywall screw, I always pick it up. I never want anyone to get a flat tire from that wherever. Could be 100 yards from where I'm sitting, just in the middle of the street. I will stop and pick it up.
You guys' birthdays both in May?
Mm-hmm, yeah.
May 5th and May 27th.
There you
Close.
Go.
May 1st.
Oh.
May Day. Yeah, that's not Cinco de Mayo. May
You're thinking of another holiday.
Yeah, I was. I really was.
You're September 22nd?
13th.
Oh, wait, when's Tessa?
It's unknowable.
20th.
Unknowable.
You can't possibly know.
It's unknowable. So I am now a guy, like a good example of a guy who's considerate and socially considerate and nice, although, you can get on his wrong side, is Jimmy Kimmel. Jimmy Kimmel's good with the anniversaries and the birthdays, and he's sort of considerate in a bigger, more practical way. Guys like Mike and me are more sort of practically considerate. So if you want to be my roommate, it'll probably be good. If you're a very sensitive female and you want your birthday recognized, it won't be good, but it'll be good day in and day out. Like it'll be good kind of nuts and bolts. But then I start thinking about nice people, and I'm trying to parse out the people that are nice, like super nice, but can you be nice and not be considerate? See, my thing is if you are super nice, but you're not fucking considerate, then you're not nice.
Right.
You got a lot of smiles and you're friendly and everything, but you're kind of fucking people around a lot.
Well, that's why I said if you're 100% nice and 0% considerate, you're a sociopath. You're a user.
Yeah, they're a Venn diagram. They overlap, of course, but there's not, you know, perfect, you know, 100% commonality.
Yeah, I know people who are genuinely, well, it's kind of interesting. My mom is a nice person who's not considerate. Or she everyone thinks they're considerate. That's number one. But who will not, I guess let's try to define considerate. Doing things you don't have to do because it's the right thing to do.
That don't benefit you.
That don't benefit you, but it's the right thing to do. There's a room, there's a random version. The random version is finding the drywall screw in the street and just bending down and picking it up and walking it to the trash can. Or, as I said, Paulette Gergos, who I saw many years ago, just randomly walking down the street, just bending down, picking up a piece of garbage and walking it a quarter mile until she found her next trash can. That's a kind of a, that's with nobody watching. Then there's the roommate version, which is, your roommate's coming home from vacation. You made lasagna. You got a sink full of pots and pans. Yeah, it's not fair for that person to return to your apartment with a sink full of pots and pans. There's that version of it. But I do know a lot of people who are nice. And here's something that I've gleaned and I'm something I'm trying to cobble together. I know people. My mom is one of these people. She's a nice person, but the nice is kind of a compensation for burning calories. Like,
right, for action.
Because if you're just a nice person, you don't have to spend money on people and you don't have to do a lot of stuff. You can just be nice. And part of the nice comes with the sort of general proclamations, like somebody's got to help these kids in the inner city or these indigenous people. They suffer so, you know, the indigenous population, but they never really actually do anything. They just sort of make the proclamations. And maybe the proclamation people and the nice people are sort of on the same side of the street.
It's funny. I had that same thought, but more socially than your example. My example I thought up just popped into my head was like, if you're going to a dinner, right? With 8 or 10 people at someone's house, the courteous person brings the bottle of wine. Like, oh, no, we're having this. I thought this would go really well. I found this at a small winery. I think everyone would like it. The nice person doesn't bring anything, but they're like, oh, you work so hard. The place looks great. The dinner's amazing. You know what I mean?
Right.
You can give lip service, but the courteous person shows up something and something thoughtful.
So let's see, Brian, Gina, and me, where are we versus the nice versus considerate, but again, subcategory socially considerate, because
where are we, where do we evaluate ourselves?
Yeah, I am not socially considerate. That I do not score well in, but I do score well in the considerate department, the sort of, yeah, I don't know, walk around, flip off lights, put lids back on stuff, like sort of, I guess when somebody, you know, I guess when you ask somebody to do something or they tell you to do something, does it weigh heavy on your mind? Do you forget about, is it in one ear and out the other?
No.
Do you write it down? Do you feel obliged? You know, like, if somebody asks me to do something, like bring something in or do something or tell this person something, it weighs on me until I do it. Like, I think about it way more than I should. But socially, no good.
I think I'm a very fair evaluator of myself, both pro and con. I certainly have a lot of bad personality traits that I'm working on. I really honestly, before this conversation even came up, I consider being considerate, no pun intended, one of my strengths. I really think I'm very considerate. I pride myself on it. Like, example that pops to mind a couple of weeks ago, Adam, you know who Dan Bongino is? Am I pronouncing that name right? He's a conservative.
Yeah, he was an ex-CIA. Bongino was an ex-Secret Service guy who's gone into talk radio.
Right. And I followed him on Twitter. We don't agree on a lot, but, you know, he was an interesting follow. And he announced that he was diagnosed with cancer, pretty advanced cancer, actually, a couple of weeks ago. And I just sent him a message. Hey, man, I've been there. If you ever want to reach out and just talk, you know, by all means. No, I didn't do like a big thing about it, like a big retweet. You know what I mean? I just kind of replied to his thing. And it just seemed like the right thing to do. I've been in that position, and I would hope someone would have been in that position for me had they been, you know, in the same hierarchy or whatever. So I just kind of reached out. So I feel like that's a considerate. I do a lot of that stuff.
Yeah, that's definitely a trait of being considerate. One of the main determiners for consideration is sushi. when you go out,
I'm way up there, buddy.
When there's four people at that table and the sushi shows up, and they got the I'm trying to think of the fatty tuna that's on top.
The albacore?
No, not the albacore. God,
toro.
Toro. When there's that toro and there's that last piece of toro there, and it's about $11 worth of toro, and everyone's just kind of looking at it, and you fucking can taste that thing in your mouth, and everyone's kind of lost count on who's gotten what.
Mm-hmm.
Do you reach for it? Do you hand it off? That sushi, you could tell, you know, when they do those tests, it's interesting. They do those tests, do the clock, Max Pata. They do those tests with kids. They do like that M&M test, like, yep. Well, would you like all the M&Ms today or less tomorrow? Or would you share?
The other way around.
Yeah, sorry, less today or more tomorrow? Or what if you share your M&Ms? You know, it's the M&M. They should just do the sushi toro test. Like, put four adults around, go to Nobu, sit around a table, have one piece of toro sitting there. Everyone wants it. No one's ever full from sushi. Everyone can handle one more piece of toro. And everyone wants it. And who's going for it? That may be the ultimate test of consideration.
That's amazing you mentioned that example. You tell me if this counts. I'm personal friends with this girl who's a sushi chef. She went to Japan to train. Now she's over here, blah, blah, blah. And she does like private home things like a year and a half ago. And we hired her and she's like, oh, we can do the party for the dinner for 8. And I just like, you know, texted my friends who I knew love sushi. It was like, come on over, we're having sushi tonight. We paid for the whole thing. It just was a fun thing to get people together for something I know they loved.
Mm-hmm. All right, we get it. You're a hero. Gina?
You asked us to evaluate.
Well, it's funny. When it comes to food, the most considerate human being on the planet, thank God, is my fiance. His poker face, if he wants the last bite, if he's starving, you'll have no idea. I have no idea. He offers it. He wants me to have it. He wants the other person to have it. He's just a very kind soul. I would consider myself a very nice person and a very considerate person, but I'm also, I don't know if my intentions are pure, because a lot of times, like if I see someone, like if there's a big group of people or a party and someone's alone in a corner, I can't focus on anything else. I will go introduce myself. We'll go chit chat because I'm so uncomfortable, because I can't relax if I see somebody else who's maybe not having a good time. And maybe it's a little people pleasy, but like, ooh, I just end up being more comfortable when the people around me look comfortable.
I thought of something. You know, it's a good indicator of considerateness, if that's a word, consideration.
Better than toro sushi?
Much better. It's true for Kimmel, and it's true for Gina Grad. Oh. If you're a good gift giver, you know what I mean? Oh. Like, if you give a gift that, like, is not just off the rack, whatever, like, you thought about, like, I think you'd really like this, and it's some cool thing or interesting offbeat gift, that's a good sign.
That's very nice.
Jimmy always, like, scours the internet to get something. Find something for me or his friends that's unique and different. It's never a gift card. It's never anything. It's like he got me a painting that said like fucking ace, and it was just
that's
an
good.
Ace, and it was like some artist with a certificate. Like, that's just who that guy is. Well, anyway, I would say stop. Beware those who are too nice. Beware those are too nice. There's something going on. And when you find those who are nice, but kind of selfish and not really considerate, then consider that nice is probably there as a smokescreen to their lack of consideration. And beware of those who make these sort of global proclamation about the kids or about the indigenous people or about the whomever, and don't ever get off their ass.
Yep.
Those are the people we got to be, we got to watch out for. All right.
I have a quick question since we're talking about considerate and nice. I just sent Chris and Kaylin a picture. What do you think of the dad who shows up to the playground with the kids in the valley that wears a t-shirt that says false prophets, P-R-O-F-I-T-S, with a Jewish star instead of an A, and what possibly looks like Benjamin Netanyahu in the middle?
Wow.
He was at the playground with us yesterday.
We're looking at him. Yeah, that looks like Netanyahu. Yeah. And that's weird.
That was weird, right?
I don't know. Look, you want to wear a t-shirt that says Fly United with two ducks fucking? I'm all about that. Or the name of some fictitious gambling hall that says liquor in the front, poker in the rear.
Poker in the rear.
Liquor in the front, poker in the rear. No problemo. I like that guy. I like the Macon Bacon shirt with the with the kids fucking on it. Sure. Yeah, this one's a little aggressive.
I agree. And I'm gonna shoot myself, I think, a hot compliment because I saw this and I ended up, you know, befriending his child because that's another thing I do at parks. I can't, like when the parents are clearly just neglecting the kid at the park, Andy and I always run up and, you know, see if he wants to play with our kids and whatever. So playing with that kid and, you know, whatever. I sent this picture to my little circle of friends going, how offended should I be by this on a scale of 1 to 1,000 with a little, like, you know, jokey face. And everyone was like, oh, up in arms. Oh, Gina. And I was like, oh, no, I'm sorry. I really don't give a shit. I just thought this was like, there's nothing about this shirt, even though it was aggressive and it made everyone uncomfortable, that hurt me in my personal heart. It was just an odd thing to see out at the playground.
Agreed. All right. Max Pata, I think couple things. We have the Gavin Newsom list of do's and don'ts for Thanksgiving.
It's mostly don'ts.
We talked about it a little bit. I don't know. There's always one that really jumps out at me, and the one that really jumped out at me was if you have to use the bathroom one.
Oh yeah.
But Max Pata, also an interesting thought, watching football today in terms of the sort of progressive advertising movement. I think, to my knowledge, the first commercial, Max Pata, for K Jewelers. The first time, it was the engagement ring store. The guy was presenting the ring to his fiance. The guy, he was about the size of the guy with the Netanyahu t-shirt. Netanyahu t-shirt. Like, yeah. The guy's about 145 pounds.
Spindly.
Plus size gal. When is the last time, have you ever seen an engagement ring commercial where the guy was going to the chick was hefty? No problem. They should be allowed to get married too, I guess. But my point is
very benevolent.
Never seen it in a commercial for an engagement ring store where the guy was asking for the plus size gal's hand in marriage or possibly ham. I don't know.
No, the only time you ever see that depicted, like not in real life, is for comedic purposes.
Right. Right.
You know, so it's a cartoon, you know.
We're
sea change people.
We're in a new world. I don't, by the way, it's not, I don't have a beef with it. I don't have a problem. I have no real commentary other than it used to always be spindly model. So because the commercial was, this is your ideal bride. Like this is your fantasy bride. This is your fantasy. I mean, they would hire the best looking guy and the best looking girl. Now they stepped it up. She's coming in about 180. Very attractive in the face, you know. A shame. But anyway,
I'd like to see this.
Gives a hell of a BJ, so I hear. Oh, I mean, that's what I read. I read that into the spot. I don't know if that she does or not.
I saw the casting notice.
That's right.
Did they change the tagline to "Every kiss begins with cake"?
That's good.
I'll see myself out.
Now, to be fair, she's not morbidly obese. She's just a plus size model. Like, it's
well, good for her.
Good for her. You go, girl.
She's 4'6".
No, it's just I've never seen it before. Never seen it.
That's where we are.
Yep, it's where we are. All right, so we have the Gavin Newsom do's and don'ts, or mainly don'ts for Thanksgiving, yes?
Something very specific jumped out at me, and I can't believe it didn't jump out at you. I can't wait for Dawson to read it.
It may have, but let's see.
Okay.
All right, here are the Thanksgiving rules explained as severe restrictions are put in place. First of all, no more than three households. All gatherings must include no more than three separate households, including hosts and guests, and must be held outdoors, lasting for 2 hours or less.
I'm going to chalk your car tires.
Masks must stay on after eating and drinking. You may remove your face covering briefly to eat or drink, as long as you are at least 6 feet away from everyone outside their own household. So you're going to have to be, if you have more than one household, you have to have separate tables 6 feet away outside.
Mm-hmm.
That's and, the thing that jumped out for me the most was outside. If this is for all of California, who the fuck are the, what are the people in Tahoe going to do? What are the people in Truckee going to do?
Yeah,
if you're on the certain side of San Francisco, it's going to be freezing.
Yeah. And by the way, I live in the foothills of Southern California. Like, it can get very cold at night.
What are people in Big Bear going to do? Right. And Lake Arrowhead, it's just fucking freezing right now.
Bring a coat.
And again, put your mask on immediately after eating and drinking. Singing and shouting are strongly discouraged.
Shouting.
That rules out my family.
Here's what they say about singing and shouting. Those who participate in these activities should, quote, do so quietly.
Singing and shouting?
Yeah.
All right.
So if you're going to sing or shout, just
perfect solution.
We'll go full right. Jeff Dunham.
Musicians.
Thank you, Gina.
That's good. This is my favorite one.
Musicians are allowed at gatherings. The playing of any wind instruments, though, strongly discouraged. So
Jim Carolla's
no flout, no trumpet.
Fucking
$3,000 trumpet out the window.
First off, I know Big Oboe. They're going to fucking mount a lobbying campaign and they're going to crush this guy. He's never going to hold office again.
What does Ian Anderson do?
Oh, boy, that's a good point. And how do you mask that man?
Yeah.
It's unmaskable.
You can't go to the Marshall Tucker Band's Thanksgiving.
No.
Space for gathering must be large enough to allow guests to maintain the distance of 6 feet from those who are not within their household. And then finally, where is the bathroom thing?
That's my favorite. It's attached. It's high up. It's at the bottom of the social distance one. This is my favorite.
All gatherings held outside. Now, attendees may go inside to use the restrooms.
Oh, my God. I had such a breath of relief when I realized that that Governor Dipshit would let me go back into my house to drop a log. And so, I thought I was going to have to shit in a decorative popcorn tin like I was in high school.
It's okay. It's okay.
Okay.
But
woo.
The restrooms have to be frequently sanitized.
Frequently.
Frequently.
All right. This guy's a fucking buffoon, retard, asshole, and everyone should just do whatever the fuck they want. I don't know what's in it for him. But I'm certainly not sure what's in it for everyone who listens to him. So there you go, everyone. Enjoy your Thanksgiving, Callie.
The silver lining is that anyone you know who's having, you know, people over or not sanitizing their restrooms frequently, which I imagine is most people, you can do a little prank call to the cops and just say, hey, I got a hot tip. There's someone has more than three households and all those restrooms aren't sanitized.
What percentage of people in California are going to do any of this? Oh, I like the one. There's one in there, Dawson, about how you have to serve the food.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one, like disposable containers, you know.
What?
Paper plates.
No paper plates, no chafing, you know.
No buffet line.
How the fuck are you going to make sweet potatoes in a fucking plastic container?
Mm-hmm.
Or you're going to make them, then you're going to transfer them into some, what is that one? Sorry.
As much as possible, All food and drink should be served in disposable containers. Gravy looks good in one of those.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Tupperware gravy, yeah.
While self-serve communal containers and other shared items should not be used by the gathering.
Right, so no chafing dishes. All right, well, no one's going to do any of that. I don't suspect he thinks anyone's going to do any of that. It's unenforceable, and for some reason, he's virtue signaling, but he's signaling I'm a retarded asshole. That's what his signal is. So I don't know why he's putting it out there. And every time I bring it up, Mike August goes, because he's running for president. Like, well, so
how's that helpful?
He's a retarded asshole is running for president. OK. But anyway, so there you go, California. Awesome. We should open the schools.
My Thanksgiving dinners are pretty modest. How many Thanksgiving dinners by percentage involve an 18-piece orchestra or the woodwind section?
I know.
No.
I love it.
I mean, mines are just jazz quartets.
Yeah, that's
just a
right.
harp in the corner.
All right. Let's see. We got some pictures to show you and some homeless stuff to do and some calls up there. And Gina's got a Facebook caption contest we'll get into. All right. So let's take a quick break. We'll come back right after this.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace man, get it on. Brett, your electrician friend, San Diego. My wife just left out of town, and I counted 14 times. 14 times, Ace man, she reminded me to give the dogs water. Female canine hydration syndrome. Get it on.
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Yeah, I realize that's the number one. Once a woman crosses the age of 30, her number one concern is giving dogs water.
Amen.
That is the biggest deal. I said I had a couple of women pull over in my neighborhood, ask me if I need. They pulled their cars over and got out with a bottle of water. I was just walking Phil. Yeah, female canine hydration. I think disorder. I think fucked.
Disorder. They're fucked.
Fucked is the we're all fucked is the is the acronym. All right, we have that. We have restless cock syndrome. There's a lot of stuff going on in this world that the news doesn't cover.
Yeah, just getting buried by COVID.
It's getting buried by COVID. No. Yeah,
Canada just won't shut the fuck up about that.
Yeah. Meanwhile. Restless cock syndrome. I think last I checked, 3.5 billion males.
Yeah,
suffer in silence.
In silence
versus COVID. All right, so we got a call up there. Gina's got some stuff. I don't know all of it, but we'll get to it. I'm going to talk to Trump. I'm going to do an interview with Trump on Tuesday at 9 a.m. Pacific time, and you can listen live on the Stereo app. And
there's an app called Stereo, and all you have to do is just download it. It's on your iPhone or Android, and you follow Adam Carolla's profile at Adam Carolla, and he's going to be interviewing people live on the app, so you can listen to it broadcast live. And we're going to kick it off with we have an appointment with the president.
And I have a
starting strong.
I have a good after that it'll be Matthew McConaughey's brother.
And then Rooster.
You know, we'll kind of slide down.
Yeah. Then it'll be the guy in the shirt from Gina's park.
That's right. Yeah. But we'll start with Trump. And I got a joke. I got a big surprise joke for him that I'm gonna reveal to him, kind of a visual thing. So you can watch that and enjoy that. William, DC 32. William?
Hey guys, how's it going?
Hi, guy.
Howdy.
Okay, what's going on?
Yeah, so just want to get the general feeling of the room, I guess. There's a giant disparity between, the pollsters, those shysters, and, what one is seeing in the streets, like, the random parades for boats, random people sporadically having, let's say, Obama had an event yesterday in Miami. He had more counter protesters outside the rally honking than people inside the quote unquote rally yesterday. Kamala had an event today in Ohio, which is, you know, quote unquote, full of energy when it was just like, you know,
yeah,
10 people put together in a parking lot.
Yeah, I don't know how it translates into that versus the polls versus the accuracy of the polls. I don't imagine it translates much. But on the other hand, there's an element of, well, if there's a bunch of people showing up for one person, it feels like something. It's kind of like I always used to kind of talk about this when they talk about ratings on TV. You know, I never really cared about the ratings. It was sort of how often do you get stopped in the airport? Mm. If you're getting stopped in the airport a lot, then you're on a successful show. If you're not, then you're not on a successful show. You can kind of spin the ratings how you want. This isn't exactly that, but it has elements of that. So, yeah, maybe the polls are a little depressed for Trump, or maybe the ones who are enthusiastic. I don't think there's any enthusiasm for Biden. There's enthusiasm for Trump, and then there's enthusiasm against Trump. So, so you kind of go, well, but look at all the enthusiasm for Trump, and there's no enthusiasm for Biden. That's true. But you have to factor in all the enthusiasm against Trump. And that to me is a factor. So in the past, it was sort of like Michigan is playing Ohio State. You got the Michigan fans, you got the Ohio State fans, but there wasn't a third fan. There was the fans that liked Michigan and then the fans that liked Ohio State, but there wasn't
what are the gamblers?
There wasn't a, yeah, that's a gambler. There wasn't a third group who just hated Michigan. It didn't really like Ohio State or didn't care about Ohio State. And so now that makes it tough to poll. Sorry. Because you can look in the stands and see the blue for Michigan and see the red and white for Ohio State, but we can't see the third group who hates Michigan. Sorry. Go ahead, Brian.
We can talk about this as long or as little as you want. I wasn't joking the other day when I said I've read every article I could find about this election dating back many months. And there was an article, you're very very sharp there, Adam, because there was an article that I refer back to about voter enthusiasm and Trump supporters, like our friend William here, like to point out that the enthusiasm is so much higher on Trump's side. While that is true and that is proven that Trump voters are more enthusiastic about their candidate than Biden voters are enthusiastic about their candidate, the amount of Trump voters who find Biden very unfavorable is 53%. And it's about right, right? He's plays for the team, blah, blah, blah. The amount of Biden voters who find Trump very unfavorable, over 80%. So yes, the enthusiasm is there for the left, for the Democrats, or whoever's going to vote Democrat, but it's not enthusiasm on behalf of Biden. It's enthusiasm against Trump.
Yeah. So it'll be a referendum on Trump, not a sort of attaboy for Biden. So, and that's the wild card. I mean, that's what we're going to have to figure out, William.
Sure, but quick question. Maybe you guys remember that initially it was the primary got split with Bernie Bros and then, I guess, Biden camp. So while I do think that the Bernie Bros do hate Trump, they also don't like getting, you know, pushed over twice in a row, right, with Hillary.
So, I don't know. I kind of feel like the Bernie Bros, that group may have more vitriol for the Bidens and the Hillarys than even the Trump. They sort of think their own who aren't hardcore enough. In a way, it's like Trump is Trump or Mitt Romney's Mitt Romney or Bush is Bush. You're supposed to do that, but you should know better. You're basically
masquerading.
You're
as
Brutus or something. You know, yeah. you're backstabber. I think in a weird, what I've kind of gathered is the Bernie Bros had more vitriol for Hillary Clinton than they did for Trump. But anyway, well, look, the good news is we'll find out in like 10 days.
That's true.
Right. And let's work on the bookings for after the election, because the last time, God, who the hell did he?
Glenn Washington.
Glenn Washington.
Yeah.
Woo. that was a tough outing, because he was coming out of his skin after that. Yeah. Just let's see. Can you get Bernie Coppell from the Love Boat, or someone's a little older, a little more sort of
Yakov Smirnoff might work out
yeah.
well.
They don't have to be left or right, but just a little elderly and a little less life in them.
Okay, sure.
You know what I mean? Check, yeah. Bernie. All right. Gina, you had some things. What did you have?
Yeah, well, I know we were going to touch on the homeless again. Chris, do you want to talk about the picture?
Yeah, so I just wanted to point this out. We did a Facebook caption contest because we put that picture up, and remember, we left that homeless picture that Gina took, still not knowing what that was. So we had some listeners comment, and let's see.
Yeah, it's under an overpass. It's got the brick. It's got the poured in place cement facade behind it. So it looks like it's you're driving under a freeway.
It's like a mini two story structure.
Yeah, it's got a little. It's got a little. You know what it's got? I'll tell you what it's got. Remember when you were young and you'd go to one of your friends' houses whose parents love them, and you went to the room and they had a cool bunk bed?
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And you're like, slide. What? What is this? And like, I got a fucking prison mattress. It's on a slab. They're like, no, we got my kid brothers up here. And it's like, that's a whole cool bunk bed thing. It's like, yep, that's what we got. Like, it was always that one friend that had kind of the cool bedroom with the cool thing in it. That's what it looks like. Looks got a slide. It's got an upper deck.
It's colorful.
It's colorful. Yeah, vibrant. Colors. It's a summer. Yes.
Yeah, so Marianne actually commented on Facebook. Remember being a kid with a huge cardboard box to play in and wishing it had a second floor? Wish granted.
And
then said.
Chris Lutz writes, turns out building a life-size version of Mousetrap doesn't make it work any better than the original. And Matt Lang writes, this season on American Ninja Warrior. And the most popular one was John. He wrote, studio with loft, easy highway access.
So
how about you leave the joking to Adam?
There is there's building going on now. And the thing about building is, again, if you ever try to actually build and pull a permit in the city, it's a fucking shit show full of regulations and shit you can't do. But AV Ed sent me a couple of pictures. I guess he's like kind of in the Silver Lakey area, but he was explaining to me that there's building going on in his street. And beyond just the big RV that's parked there, he said there's a guy who has an RV. He has a Porsche, too, like a Porsche SUV. He gets in the Porsche SUV and goes somewhere every day, like presumably to work, and then comes back and sleeps in the RV. The RV, these places, which are like, I guess it'd be kind of Boyle Heights, Silver Lake or whatever. Those houses there are $2.7 million, and you get to park your RV out front, just live tax-free for free. But the pictures Ed showed me, there was some building going on. Do you have that, Maxipata? They got tents.
Condos.
They got condos. They got Visqueen.
Those are semi-permanent structures.
Yes, they're... Look, they look like the shit the military puts up in the desert for like Desert Storm, right? Like the point is people are building structures on the street and living in them, and we are doing nothing about it. The other one is the guy has workout equipment. He has the inversion table.
Oh, wow. Inversion machine.
Well, you know, doing all that building out on the street, you can throw your back out. He's got the inversion machine. He's got the water bottles.
Look at the sink.
He's setting up shop on the fucking sidewalk. And my whole thing is fine. I mean, I don't know. Probably not the best way to run a city, but so be it. But fine. Don't come to me when I'm trying to build a mezzanine in my fucking warehouse and tell me all the shit I can and can't do. That's all. Because obviously... You're lawless. Why are you coming into my warehouse? And also, at what point, I'm passing places now. I'm seeing kids' toys and jungle gyms and tents and Visqueen and, you know, everything. It's structures. Now I'm seeing structures. RVs, they're building structures off of the RVs. At some point, physically... There's going to be a sort of physical mass where there's just going to be 7 million metric tons of shit. I mean, at a certain point, how do you clean up a shanty town? I mean, it's one thing if somebody puts a shopping cart and a refrigerator box over there, or a couple pallets. At some point, when it becomes so fucking prevalent, like, how do you physically clean it up? I mean, the entire, you know, if you would have taken a snapshot of the city 20 years ago, there would have been a couple of people sleeping under freeway overpasses. And in terms of the physical manifestations of that, it would have been a couple of boxes. Some shit was shopping carts. Everything was a shopping cart, you know. Maybe there'd be a bike, some stolen bike or something parked there. There's now, you would like to get rid of this, you physically have to do a lot of work. I mean, there's many, many, many structures now spread out over a, you know, 80 square mile radius. Like, how are you physically going to clean it up? Like, how much manpower do you have? How big is the dump? I mean, where do you physically put all this shit? I mean, it is a ton of physical material now.
And think of optics, because the farther you kick this can down the road and the more you let this stuff spread and build, whoever's the guy holding the hot potato saying, we got to get rid of this, is going to be on camera sanctioning, bulldozing whole neighborhoods. And that's not a good look.
Yes. I mean, it is right. So Daryl Hannah's going to have to, like, chain herself to one of these shanty towns. I mean, in the past, it was like, hey, guy sleeping on the sidewalk, get up and move it along. And then it sort of went to like, hey, guy with the shopping cart, like, get up and move it along. Then it kind of went to like, hey, guy in this sort of weird lean-to thing underneath the freeway overpass, move it along. Now we need to evict people from their homes.
Put a notice on their door.
That's right.
We need to physically destroy people's homes. And you know the fucking pussies in this town are going to be like, what are you doing? That's his home. His kids are in there. Like,
well, the angle they took, I just heard this on the radio. Could have been KFI. They said the reason they're giving to move people from under the overpasses is not for the quality of the life of the community. It's because they're worried that the people who live there are inhaling too much carbon monoxide. From the cars.
I love it when some of these guys are going to talk. Some of these guys are going to think about moving. They're going to think about selling their home.
Yeah.
At some point, they're going to get a termite inspection. Mm-hmm. The termite inspection is going to come in like, listen, I'm sorry. We have to tent your tent. The tent needs to be tented.
Uninhabitable.
Yeah. We got to tent it. You have to move into another shopping cart / shantytown tent for 3 to 7 days. We're going to have our guys to come here and tent your tent. All right.
Can I just tell you real quick that Nextdoor app? Now, I stopped shitting on them briefly because they're the ones who tipped me off to the 50% off sale at Whole Foods. But they're back with a vengeance if anyone has the Nextdoor app, which is literally just Yentas bitching about whatever neighborhood you're in. So in my neighborhood, as Adam can imagine, because he's familiar with this neighborhood, there's a lot of people being like, now there's an encampment under the Coldwater overpass. Now there's one under the 134. And it's just constant encampment talk. Well, we finally found the hero that we needed. Maybe not the one we asked for, but this was the newest post on my Nextdoor app that came in today. It's a man. I see so many posts about the homeless in the neighborhood and how unsightly everyone thinks it is and how unhappy people are about it. And I completely understand. And it's concerning, especially when they're doing things that are unsafe and endangering others. With that said, I ask you, has anyone offered help or solutions to the issue? Or are you just complaining about it? Are you actively working to eradicate the issue or to offer some assistance or aid solutions to the problem? Has anyone offered to give them a job or even just look them in the eye and acknowledge them? Maybe less complaining and more offering actual solutions and ideas.
Right. So this is the person we're talking about who is not considerate, but is trying to signal that they are. Yeah. Because I guarantee this Yenta has never knocked on anyone's tent door and offered them a job. Also,
and guess what? Well, I have. Not a job, but I've done the food thing. I've done this. And I don't appreciate the 5-year-old that lives with us being terrified when we go on a walk.
The picture Ed took was on in Silver Lake, just above Atwater. And by the way,
like, that condo gave themselves windows.
Yes.
If you look at the picture.
I love, I love that the guy offered them a job. Like, yeah, I'm a drywall contractor. Do you do mud and tape? Do you do joint compound? Like, how many? I'll pay you. We'll do piece work. I'll pay you $14 a sheet. Like, you can't go to
W-9.
Fucking guy sleeping on the street. We offer him a job. All right. Anyway, it's again. You can look the other way. That's fine. That doesn't mean it is basically nature. It is ivy. You can look the other way, but do not expect that ivy to ever stop growing. Do whatever it's engulfing, it shall engulf. You go, I don't have a good way to get rid of it. Okay. I don't know what to do about it. Fine. I don't want to be mean to the ivy. Okay. Go back in your house and check back in a year and see where the ivy is.
Have you asked the Ivy if they want a job?
If they want a job. All right, let me hit Red Cap here. That's Red Cap with a K, not a C. Red Cap is one of the oldest makers of workwear in the country, outfitting our essential workers for nearly a century. They have something for seemingly every industry, from coveralls to high-visibility work shirts to oil-blocking chef coats and shops. The stuff is top notch. The coveralls are great. I was wearing them just the other day. The workwear is pretty damn great as well. Again, they've been around, I think, since 1923. So you know they're doing something right. Right now, go to redcap.com. Enter promo code Adam. Get 20% off your first order. This offer ends November 20th. So get there and get some top-tier industrial-grade work wear, and it's perfect, and it'll be perfect for any job. That's redcap.com, redcap with a K, promo code Adam. All right, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll play our Rotten Tomatoes game. Gina, you won last?
I did.
Gina won last week.
Yeah.
We'll do that right after this.
Hey, movie lovers, who needs a theater when you have Pluto TV? Grab your popcorn and your streaming device, because free movies are here. Pluto TV is your home for movies. Great movies are playing anytime in over 20 exclusive movie channels of action, horror, rom-coms, and more. Watch hits like Saving Private Ryan, Pretty in Pink, and Charlie's Angels all for free. No signups, no fees, no contracts. Ever. Download the free Pluto TV app on any device.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
Hey, listen. Remember how you told me to toss those takeout containers before we left for vacation? And you were like, I'm serious. If that leaks over the counter, it'll be a slimy abomination by the time I get back. And I was like, yeah. Of course. Don't worry about it. I won't forget. Well...
Ooh, yeah. That happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed. Rinse after use if in contact with food surface.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium-iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.